Good morning, everyone. It is really good to be with you guys again. For those that don't know, my name is Wes, and what a privilege it is that we get to sit together and just spend time in worship, spend time in the Word together. Even though we're distant, you know, we could sit on the couches together in our PJs, drinking coffee, maybe eating some bacon or, you know, cinnamon rolls, whatever it may be. But anyways, super glad to be able to join with you guys. Let's go ahead and jump in the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. So last time that you guys, you saw my face, we were going through just looking at Jesus a little bit, you know, and we're going to just continue on. And in chapter 14 of John, in verse 16, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. So hopefully we'll get to, we'll just look a bit of who the Holy Spirit is, and then hopefully we'll get to what does it look like to have the Holy Spirit, have Him in our lives. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you. You're great, you're mighty, you're awesome, you're powerful, yet you know every single worry on our heart, every thought, every hair in our head. And Lord, you care deeply about us. Lord, it says you store our tears up in a jar. Lord, you're just an amazing God. So we just want to worship you this morning. We pray that your word would minister to our hearts. We ask that, Holy Spirit, you would fill us, Lord, yet again, and that we would have just you flowing through us, Lord, that we would be vessels, Lord, of praise and honor and glory as unto you. So we love you. Speak to us, please, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so verse 16, chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Now, I love that, right? This is the first, you know, this idea, this mention of a helper here. The Greek is the paraclete, which is, you know, great. But the idea is that he's our advocate. He's the one who's called alongside. And that is who the Holy Spirit is. He is the one who calls, comes alongside of us. He is our advocate. He is, you know, he is the helper. He is this awesome one. And it says in verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. Now we think back to all the way back, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And we see that the Spirit was hovering over the waters. So we see the Trinity, which I told you last time I don't understand. I still don't understand. He's still worthy of praise, and it's okay to not understand him. But we see the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, right? First time we see the Holy Spirit show up in the scriptures of the New Testament is Jesus is getting baptized, right? At least the first time with Jesus, we see the Father speaking from heaven, the Holy Spirit coming down and sending like a dove upon him, right? And we see Jesus. We see that he gets filled with the Spirit. So anyways, but this, you know, who is this Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of truth. Not only is our helper, not only is her, he is our advocate, not in, you know, but he is the one who is truth, right? And it says in the next chapter that he's going to lead us into truth. But we can know him. And he says, because he abides with you and he will be in you. So we know the Holy Spirit, right? Another section, he is convicting the world of sin, right? But he says that he will be in us, that the third person of God comes into us. It's an amazing thing. And then also in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, we won't go there, but basically Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go away, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And, you know, this idea that's the dunamis, that's the dynamite, that's the ability to expand or reproduce. That's powerful. That you shall receive power and you'll be my witnesses. So the Holy Spirit is going to be the empowerment to the believers of Jesus Christ, right? And what's that? To be his witnesses, to be those that take that witness stand, that our advocate is speaking through us, right? That the lawyer that is proclaiming to all the world that they have sinned and they've fallen short of the glory of God and they need salvation. They need right relationship with God. That God has done everything for that at the cross, as we celebrated a week ago. about his death, burial, and resurrection, that he's paid the price. So the idea of the Holy Spirit, right? He comes in and he says, you're going to be my witnesses. And then the idea of the witness is that we take the witness stand of what we know, what we've seen, what we've heard, what we know to be true, what we've experienced to be true. And we are God's living witness. And the amazing thing is he's given us his Holy Spirit to do that. He doesn't say, hey, you're saved now, go out and try to live this Christian life. No, he's given us his Spirit. So who is the Spirit? He says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's Jesus again. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. Because I live, you will live also. Right? He's speaking forth of the cross, speaking forth of the resurrection, that our very life becomes Christ's life. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. What a picture of unity and of oneness. I just read with my family, actually my daughter, which was really sweet, my youngest daughter, read John 17 during our devos, and it's just Jesus' actual prayer, right? It's so powerful, but he's just talking about that unity and that oneness that the Trinity always had, right? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He was content. He is content. He didn't need to make us, right, to make him more complete. He is love, and just loving one another within all three of those separate persons that are all one. I don't really get it. He's worthy of praise. I think you've got that right. So, verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose to myself, right? So we know Judas shows up, and, you know, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus' response in verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Ah, it's so good, right? He's just talking about it. Then he's going to give that peace to us. But here he says he's going to give us the one, right? The Holy Spirit, the Helper in my name, and he will teach you. And the amazing thing is, he's just like him, an exact representation. As we talked about Jesus as the exact representation of the Father in Hebrews chapter 1, last time I was with you guys, here, the one just like him, the Holy Spirit, is going to live in us, right? What an amazing thing. He says you're going to do greater works even than these things. We know that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. He is our Encourager. He is the Convictor, right? He is our peace. And all of these things, who the Holy Spirit is, he's just fantastic and he's wonderful. So a little bit later, we're going to go, we know the fruits of the Spirit, but let's go ahead and go in Ephesians chapter 5. You know, Galatians talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, what an amazing thing. In contrast of the works of the flesh. But here in Ephesians, he says, you know, verse 15 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So there's that challenge, right? We're to be circumspect. We're to have our minds in gear, focused how we're to walk. You're to walk. Not as the unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Now, that's just the truth, right? We have an enemy, and he hates us. And if you don't think he does, he truly, truly does, right? He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's unfortunately really good at it. But Jesus has come to give life and life abundantly. So we're recognizing that our battle is not against flesh and blood, right? But it's spiritual forces and all of these things that are going on. And the amazing thing is that we don't have to fight this battle on our own. The days are evil. The problem is we dwell in these bodies of flesh, and that's a wrestle within our own bodies, right? And so we want to walk according to the Spirit. And, you know, we're not going to go there, but just the idea of chapter 6 of Romans about, you know, we're born again, right? We're baptized with Christ. We've been resurrected with Christ. We're to offer our bodies of these things. The problem is so often we go into chapter 7 of Romans where we attempt to do it on our own. The I, me, mys. You know, things I do, I don't want to do. The things I want to do, I don't do. You know, who will set me free from this body of sin and death? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will set me free? And then he says, he gets into worship and he says, I thank my God, which we'll get to in just a second here. I thank my God, right? And then he's talking about there's no condemnation for those that are, we live in the Spirit, right? So he is our life. He is the one who empowers us. So anyways, we have this battle. The days are evil. The wrestle even inside, it happens. We're to make the most of the time, for the days are evil. You know, I love what Bill says. He says, you know, today is a unique day. We're given 24, right? We can't go back and relive this day again. I know the circumstances are difficult where we're at now, but have we asked the Holy Spirit, Lord, empower me today. I want to live this day for you. How do you want me to live? So it's just that challenge, right? Each day is unique and it's powerful, but the days are evil. So then he says in verse 17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you want to know what the will of the Lord is? Yeah, I do too. So understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, for it is dissipation or waste or squandering, but be filled with the Spirit. So he's not given a whole, you know, dissertation on drinking or not drinking. What he's saying is when somebody gets consumed, when they consume alcohol, they come under the influence of it. And they're affected by that. And he's saying we are to be influenced by the Spirit. Instead of that dulling of senses that happens with alcohol, we are to have a sharpness of senses with the Holy Spirit. It says that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He is our down payment. He is that engagement ring that until the day of redemption that we have him. So the Holy Spirit is our seal. He is our protector. But we're to walk in the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine as in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So you and I, right, when we recognize that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we cry out, God, I need to be saved from the penalty of death, and I need to be brought into a right relationship with you. And the only way I can do it is through Jesus Christ. We get saved, right? We are born again. We are saved by grace through Christ. It's not of works, lest any of us shall boast. But God has prepared good works before us that we are to walk in those, right? We are his master craftsmen. Workmanship, right? We are his poema. We are his poem. We are his song that he has written. And he wants to empower us to do that. So we're to be filled with that Spirit. And again, it's a he, right? The Greek is that it's a neuter, but all the surrounding verbs and all the surrounding pronouns and all that stuff is masculine, which is, you know, you can study that, which is really interesting. But we are to be filled with him. Empowered by him, that dynamic power of Acts chapter 2. And for whatever reason, we leak him. You know, we just need to be refilled and empowered. And what does the Spirit-filled life look like? Again, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. But it says here, what's the first thing he says? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. You know, I got saved at age 25. And I love music before, and I love the power of it and all of that. But when I got saved, the power of music overwhelmed me because I was singing to my King, and he delighted in the praises of me. You know, when we were talking about doing these devos, originally we had talked about, hey, we'll have a starting point. Ed will lead us in worship, and then we'll just have devos. But somehow, really quickly, we started to do, you know, we're like, hey, let's just do a couple songs of worship to enter in. And I don't think that's a mistake. I think it's powerful because as a Spirit-filled believer, there's a song that comes out of our life, right? And people smarter than me have come up with this. I don't really know. But psalms, which is just singing the scriptures, right? Hymns, which are those classic lifelong, you know, those songs that we've been through continually, have been written and we've been blessed by, right? And then the spiritual songs has almost the idea that it's almost spontaneous, you know, which is a powerful thing. But one of the evidence of a spirit-filled life is that there's a song that comes out of our life and we want to sing. I know not everybody has a good voice, and, you know, I think about the reality of just, you know, sometimes I think about those that don't have good voices and I get distracted and then I'm not by them worshiping and I really miss those voices, right? Because it's coming from the heart. So that's one of the signs of a spirit-filled person. What is it? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And again, right, I know, like Tim is going to say, it's a skillful noise that we're to make, right? But that idea is that we're to make a song to the Lord, and it's beautiful in the Lord's ear. So that's a spirit-led person. What else? Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Is one of the things of a spirit-filled person is a thankful person. Now, if we go back to Romans chapter 7 and we cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, it's not a what, but it's a who. When we're at that place that we, as Jesus started off in the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is a beggar. That is somebody who doesn't have enough spirituality to even lift his face to ask for money. That's where we're at spiritually. When we're at that place, we recognize there is nothing we can offer God. We're broken. Guess what? Everything we get is a gift, and we're super excited, and we're super thankful. Do we have that thankfulness in our heart? Do I have that thankfulness? You know, we're going through tough times, you know, and there's things that personally in our families, and it's difficult, but can we thank the Lord? I think back to Thane, one of his workers from Reformation. He said, you know, they were chatting, and I was, you know, amongst them doing team building and stuff. And he said, bro, you have a right relationship with God. All of your other problems pale in comparison. Think about that. You have a right relationship with God. All of your other problems pale in comparison. To be able to be on that advocate's side of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the judge of all creation, to be on the right side, everything else pales in comparison. He is the Father of lights, and he gives us good gifts. And there's no shifting shadow. There's nothing, you know, he is a good, good God, and he loves us. So that is a show, that is a benchmark of a spirit-filled person, of a spirit-filled church, is there a thankfulness? You know, and sometimes life is hard, guys, but are we still able to, in all things, give thanks, right? So there's that, one of those challenges, but just crying out to God, fill me with your spirit day by day, moment by moment, that I would have that thankful heart. And be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. There's just an order. There's a submission. There's a desire of submitting to one, instead of wrestling and fighting with one another, there's a thankfulness and going through that order. As we read already, the idea that it was, you know, Jesus, he just did what he saw his Father do. He was submitted to his Father, and the Holy Spirit was submitted, you know, in the midst of that. We see structure even within the Godhead, equal in value, different in role. So this picture of the Spirit-led life is somebody who is led by the Spirit, it comes out so practically, but there's a submitting to one another. Instead of wrestling and taking our rights, as we're going to study, I believe, tomorrow in Philippians, that beautiful chapter of chapter 2, that Jesus, even though he was equal with God, did not regard himself equal with God, right? He didn't have to wrestle with that, but he submitted himself, becoming obedient as a slave. And then the next step, as a human. And then the next step, being obedient to death. And not only death, but death on a cross. There is that submitted part, right? So there is this joy of submission, of walking in that role, but then also recognizes that our master is good and that he no longer calls us slaves, but he calls us friends, and we know what he's doing. So this idea of a spirit-filled person, of God's Spirit, he's so tender with us. He's so thorough with us. He is gentle, but yet he's thorough. He just doesn't end, right? Such a good thing. So then, just to end on this, right? Things to think about. What is a Spirit-filled life? And it's just asking, right? Have we been someone recently that have said, forgive me? Forgive me for what I've done wrong. Maybe it's something in the household, right? And not blaming that other person, but that is an evidence of a Spirit-filled life. And guess what? What does he go into immediately after this? He's talking about wives and husbands and children and slaves and masters with your bosses and all this. And then he goes into the spiritual warfare. But the Spirit-led life, there is the emotional side, and that's okay. But that can't be it. Because if it is, we're going to be on a roller coaster. But it's standing upon the promises of God. It's when we're not experiencing it is more important almost than when we do have these amazing, just exciting moments of his presence, right? So the Spirit-led life so often happens in our marriages, in our relationships, in our life with our children, with those that we work with, those that we're submitted to, you know? So just that challenge. I just want to encourage you guys. Sometimes we can get really weird in all of these things. And yes, tongues and prophecy, those are great, right? You can read chapter 12, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians and really see that things are done in order and for edification or building up of the body. And God has placed each member as he sees fit, right? That they're to be built up and it's to be done in order. But it almost seems like it's not the focus because that's not every day. Every day is having that heart of songs of just praising our God, hearts of thanksgiving, hearts of being submitted, hearts of confessing when we've sinned and recognizing that we have an advocate with the Father, not just the Holy Spirit, but Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's an advocate, not for us, but for the whole world, right? So he knows, and we can find our hope in him. So Spirit-led life just comes out in our daily walk. And it's just talking with him. It's listening to him. It's enjoying him. It's worshiping him. So I just want to thank you guys. I'm really blessed by you. You know, I do want to just put a personal prayer request. Pray for camp. We just don't know what the Lord's going to do this summer, you know, if Camp Indy's going to happen or not. You know, there's a lot of precious families and a lot of precious counselors and campers. So just don't know. We want the Lord's will. We want to do things safely, rightly, and you know, just according to the Lord's will. So let's pray. Lord, you're good and you're worthy to be praised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can submit to you, that we can know you. We thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you're closer than a brother. Lord, that you are both the penalty and the payment for our sin, Lord, that we can be set free. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would search our hearts. And Lord, if there's any wicked way within us, that you would cleanse us, Lord. We know that we're saved. This is not a saving thing. This is a continual filling, that you would fill us with your Spirit. If we've got right next to us the person that we've got unconfessed sin, that we would, that you would bring about healing. So, or Lord, maybe we would call up, Lord. And Lord, I do pray that there would be songs of praise in our hearts, Lord, and those that would express it, maybe skilled or maybe not. But Lord, we just want to fall back in love with our first love, and that's you, Jesus. And it's all by your grace, and it's by your mercy. So we love you, Lord. May we walk this day in the fullness of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.